Hi, this is your host, Lori Moylove with the Limitless Podcast. And today I have Amanda Bowman-Garish, and she is an amazing development executive. You spent 9 years developing and also overseeing sophisticated content for young adult audiences, especially millennials. So let's like Pretty Little Liars. I'm talking The Rookie, even offshoots of that, The Rookie Feds, The Rookie Northwest. You even worked, what I thought was interesting, because I didn't know about this, was you even worked on the side of like with books and publishing and developing those for film and TV. And even one of my favorite shows, Emily in Paris. I'm sure some of our listeners, Emily in Paris, they're probably like, oh my gosh. So I guess like now you're chasing your dreams. You're going after your creativity. And now you've started Nice Girl Mafia. I feel like I'm an honoree of Nice Girl Mafia.
That's right.
Tell me a little bit about Nice Girl Mafia, how the idea started, and like the excitement of starting and launching your own production company.
That's so great. You know, I came up with the term Nice Girl Mafia probably in 2010, just because I love people. I'm a creative. I'm not a writer, but I'm very much a creative at heart. I love meeting people and hearing their stories endlessly. Everybody tells me their stories. I feel like I'm an open book. And I also, you know, sometimes the assumption is when you're kind of open and excited to hear from people, everyone's kind of like, oh, they're, you know, they aren't as intelligent. I don't know why, but that's a little bit of the assumption. And that's where I really enjoyed coming up with the term Nice Girl Mafia, because it's basically like, I love stories. I'm fervent about storytelling. And at the end of the day, I am very strategic. I want to bring people around me that also have that same level of attention to detail. And with every show that I help shepherd, I want to be bringing a little bit of joy to the audiences that are watching it. And so it just felt like the right term. I don't know why. I was like at ABC Family and it kind of came to mind. And I was eager to do it one day. And, you know, I just kept going through the business, chasing my dream. The business has always been difficult. Right now, it's particularly tricky. But also when you have, I like to say the only reason why I survived Hollywood is just blind optimism.
And I love and that.
But like, you just have to go for it and go, I'm going to figure it out. No matter what is thrown my way, I just got to figure it out. So Nice Girl Mafia is up and running. I want to expand and bring a lot of people into the mafia, but really building that foundation at this point. And I, you know, want to tell stories. You know, I have been blessed to work with incredible creators like Marlene King, Oliver Goldstick, Darren Star, Alexi Hawley, you know, Alita Kalogridis, you know, I mean, I could go on and on about the incredible creators I have been blessed to work with. And I think part of the reason why I've been blessed to work with them is we all do have a very shared vision of like creating content that people enjoy. You know, I remember someone was saying, you know, there's a job in horror. Do you, when I was really young in my career, like, do you want me to put you up for it? I was like, please don't. Like, they just don't want me there. I'm too bubbly for that. And so, you know, I think at the end of the day, I want to create TV that people want to watch. And a big portion of my development has been booked to TV. You know, what I have found is, again, I like strategy. You know, I think that there's something really beautiful about finding a concept that it has, you know, 4 seasons within, you know, one book, which I have a book on my slate that has exactly that. And then you can go find the showrunner, the creator that has an expertise in TV storytelling. And so you both can talk about, oh God, do you remember that part in the book where the person said this? And it's like, yes. And let's get back to that. If you ever kind of veer off course, you can always find your way back to an emotional moment that really lit you up when you read the property and you know, explained why this is a TV series. And so, you know, when I got to work on Younger with Darren Star, it was just like the best of all worlds. I got to pretend I worked in publishing and work on a show about publishing. And, you know, it was a career highlight when I was sitting next to him at a table read and I would see him kind of like writing notes on the script, like, oh, try a different joke here. And I was just like, how am I sitting in this like next to a brilliant, brilliant man? How have I stumbled into this role? And I'm very lucky and very grateful that I have.
Now, you read a lot of content, let's say manuscripts, get scripts. I just want to tell our listeners, no unsolicited material. Please go through the proper channel. But when you do get the material, I guess, where's your favorite creative space to absorb them? Read that manuscript, that script that comes in. Where's your favorite creative space to really digest it?
It really is book to TV. It's just, it helps me get lost in the creative and then find the right elements to put around it. And so, because look, writing scripts are hard. There are nuanced structural choices that one makes while they are writing or noting something that you only really learn by osmosis and by kind of being in this business for long enough. Like I remember when I was giving notes on one particular project and I was listing off, there's like too many flash forwards, too many flashbacks. Like there's no structure to it that I can. There was this project that I had to really give my feedback on because it was breaking too many rules. And you can break rules, but, and that's why working with Alexi Hawley was a dream, because that man has learned the art of television storytelling. He is a++++ student. He is the best showrunner there is, and he has learned the form so he can break the form. And I think that's the most important piece of advice I would give to young writers, go work in broadcast. Like they have a format. And once you learn that format, you know what studio and network execs are expecting when you're writing a script. And when you have mastered that structure, then you can break all sorts of form, at the right moment. So books really give me that ability to go, I see the pitch of the show here. It's a loud idea. It really isn't about, there's, millions and millions of sales, because call me crazy. I don't think that necessarily is the be all end all anymore. Sure. Would it be great if it's a best-selling book and a lot of people loved it? Like It Ends With Us. Sure. That comes with an inherent audience, but in TV, it's really about what are the six seasons that we can break out of this. And if you have a world and a universe and cast of characters that you want to spend a long time with, like that's the win.
Yeah, totally. Cause then you give a lot of space for a showrunner to build those arcs. And then after each episode, have that little cliffhanger, oh, wait, now I need to see the next episode. Why'd they do that?
Yes. Yeah. And what's fun about it is to be a book reader and to really be able to, as a studio executive, have my own pitch of what it would be and then be surprised by the writer who makes a different choice. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more beautiful than a writer that makes a choice that is unique from the piece of IP. Like, oftentimes, you have a book and you ask for pitches on it. And at times I would have people come in with, I love the book and here is my TV pitch and it is the book. And you're like, yes. And I want to be surprised. I like the book for a reason, but you can't just kind of paint by numbers a book to a pilot. Like you really do have to kind of break form a bit. And so, that's what's kind of fun is you get to know the writer in a really nuanced way, because when they come in with a pitch, you see how their brain works and what they're leaning towards.
Yeah, that's so true. Cause like, I'm like thinking of all the manuscripts and things that I've read when I was in development, and I was like, the writer is really painting this canvas, and that's what kind of compels you to help move it forward. Like I think of like beginning stages of like coverage for someone starting out. And I think like that's what's so needed. And especially for younger people starting out, I guess, what would you tell someone who maybe, someone that went to Ithaca like you, that,
Go Bombers.
Started out, just starting out, or is a PA. Like I know you started as a PA at CSI. Yep. So I guess, what words of advice, creative advice, would you give to someone that like starting out fresh into the industry and wants to get their, creative juices, but they also want to start something fresh, but also gain that experience? What advice would you give them?
I think the most important thing that one can do in this business is know who you are and have an understanding of your foundation, of what you believe in and who you are. For instance, I like to say I was a good Christian girl from Pennsylvania, and that upbringing, that was how I was raised. And when I think about the stories that I am drawn towards, it is definitely David versus Goliath type of stories. It is individuals that don't believe they have it within them to conquer some really difficult challenge, and they find the strength anyway. And that can be Younger, that can be Pretty Little Liars, that can be The Recruit, that can be honestly Breaking Bad. I didn't work on that show, but you know, it can be any sort of story about someone overcoming some long-term obstacle, and people can take inspiration from that. And so I think for young people, know what that core theme is for yourself. So every project, every job, everything that you're working towards, you're going, does this go through the filter of who I am? Because authenticity, I think, is incredibly important in this business, and being able, especially with writers, like, they are putting their heart and soul on the page, and you want to be able to show up and go, here's my heart and soul. I'm not writing this, but I believe in you. And I, you know, I see this portion of myself and what you're doing. And that's why I have the note that I have. And I think when you're coming at it with that, you know, I guess the word is gracious perspective. Like, you're just like, I want to be here. I am. I like to say, I am your number one fan. Like, as your studio executive or your producer, I am your number one fan. And that's my responsibility. So knowing yourself and having your own kind of theme of who you are, and understanding that every move that you make in this business is additive to the next one. I feel very, very, very blessed. You know, I started an indie film when I was in 2005. And then I went to ABC Family. And then I went to Alloy because I knew I wanted to get into more adult content. And I knew I could go to Alloy, where they do more adult content, but they also do YA. So I can bring that to the table, but I can also add a little something else. And then I was at Alloy. And then I fell in love with Younger. My friends, Keith Cox, Brad Gardner, had really found Younger and nurtured it with Darren Star. And I fell in love, and I was like, how do I come work with you? And, you know, they were like, well, we're looking to do more soap, so come on over, because I had a big soap background. So I joined TV Land team and then did Paramount Network, which was, you know, our goal was to be a little bit more sophisticated, which is where we did American Woman with John Rigi and First Wives Club. And then at that point, you know, I was really seeing the business shift, and I realized that it would be really good for me to get studio experience, because I'd never really had studio experience. So I was able to go to E1, where I was graciously connected with Alexi Hawley, and that was the next 8 years of my life. And then I joined Lionsgate for a little bit, and now I'm doing my own thing. But I say, you look at that whole scope, and everything is adding, you know, ABC Family YA, Alloy more adult, TV Land comedy, Paramount Network, more sophisticated comedy, E1, everything. Like, and you're just kind of like building your toolbox. So when you're out in the marketplace advocating, you know, for that next job or that next project, you can say, like, these are the reasons why I'm the person for you. And so I think that all goes back to knowing yourself. Well, you know, at that young age when someone's like, you want to go work at Screen Gems? And I'm like, please don't send me over there. I would not work, because it's not who I am. I'm too sunny. You know, I'm nice. It just would not, the math would not math. So definitely get to know yourself and your brand and who you are to your core, so that you can really show up authentically in development and production and be a good partner to the people that you're working with.
Yeah, I agree with that, because authenticity is what really kind of transpires to the page, and also to the listeners, to your audience, to who's watching your content. So yeah, it's really authenticity.
I have to say, I was blessed. Again, I say it all the time, but I really was blessed to work with the showrunners that I was worked with. Mm-hmm. And they were all incredible badass writers and producers, like showrunners and kind people. And like you said, all of that together seeps off the screen and into people's homes. And like, I really do feel like that's the reason why Marlene, Oliver, Darren, and Alexi are who they are, because they just show up very authentically as to like who they are. And they're very good to the people that they work with.
Yeah. And that's so important too in the industry as well. And yeah, it's so true. Just showing up authentically. And I hope some of our listeners really tap into that. Some of this advice, because you're really dropping some gems for some of our young up and coming storytellers. So I appreciate that.
The whole reason why we're here is to have our voice heard.
Yeah.
So who are you? Like, you know, and that's the beautiful thing about Hollywood. Like, it is a gorgeous industry in that, you know, you have to have something to say to be able, people actually do want to hear from you, because otherwise why are we here? And so, you know, the more you can get to know yourself at that young age where you're, everybody is lost. I was certainly lost myself.
Yeah, for sure. Me too.
I still have no idea what I'm doing. But like, But being able to really at least know, you know, what your representative, you, like what you want the world to know about you and know when they know about you, when they meet you, that gives you focus, I think.
For sure. And it's the focus that then kind of aligns the right people to your projects and what you're doing. So yeah.
I got infinitely better at my job when I started going to therapy.
I
really got to know myself and who I am and how I was formed and why I make the decisions I make, I all of a sudden could read every scene going, oh, this is what that character wants. This is what that character wants. They're meeting in a scene where they're trying to like go at each other and they're unwilling to give up the thing because of their upbringing. And like, so go to therapy and therapy, work all the stuff.
We maybe should do an ad for therapy. I'm going to like, one of my favorite, I definitely would plug for music, is Backline. They help artists get therapy for those touring. So go check out Backline to some of my fellow musicians. But yeah, therapy is so important and you got to find the right one. Mm-hmm. It takes a 100%. While
to. Don't just go to the first one and then be like, it's not for me, because I was lucky and take recommendations. Like I was lucky. I stumbled into the right person at the right time. And then when I went to another company, he wasn't covered by insurance and I saw someone else and I was like, thank God I'd had Dr. Joe, because if this person had been my first person, I would have been like, never mind, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, right. I have a fun trivia game that I do with all my guests. And this one, we're just going to call it throwing the pitch.
So love it.
You're going to just say, I'm going to ask you like these rapid fire questions and you're going to just say one word. So scripted or unscripted?
Scripted.
Yeah, I thought the writer's room or solo vision?
Writer's room. I'm a millennial.
Okay. Spielberg or Shonda?
Shonda.
Okay. Describe your dream series in one word.
Dream series. Uplifting.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Okay. So network notes. Helpful or a headache?
So helpful. People will hate me for saying that. But that's your number one fan base. Like, and you know, they're never like, you must take this note. It's like, you really do have to think about what they're asking for and why, and they're giving you a directive of how it's going to work on their platform. Like you want to listen to those.
Yeah, no, definitely. Okay. Dream IP that you wish you developed.
Hunger Games. I tried. I called for it when I was at ABC Family and they literally laughed at me.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
They were like,
that's
wild. No. Like, okay.
Okay. What about late night brainstorm or early morning clarity?
Early morning clarity. I'm so tired at the end of the day. I get up at 5 a.m. and I do all of my notes because my brain is clear.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think morning. So far, a lot of our guests have said morning. So we'll have to do at the end of the season who leaned towards what.
Yeah.
What about green light moment or premiere night?
Green light
moment.
You know what it is? You know why? When we got the recruit greenlit, I was like in my guest bedroom and it was this moment of like, did that just happen? Oh my God. And like, you've got all this possibility ahead of you. And I think that's why the green light moment. And then the premiere was incredible as well. But like the green light moment is this internal thing.
Yeah.
And celebration that, you know, nothing can beat.
Oh, awesome. And then what about one TV theme song that still gives you chills?
I mean, Friends. I mean, it's iconic. It's forever. It's like, it was the first show that re-edited, I think it was the first show that re-edited the opening main titles to like the season. And like, it thought about that section of the television storytelling, you know, uniquely. And I watch it every time when I watch it on Max. So
yeah, you have to listen to the song.
You have to.
It's like a must. And then what about a series that made you fall in love with storytelling? What was that series, that number one series?
That number one series, Grey's Anatomy. I remember because I was a young, like, God, 24-year-old living actually not too far from where I am now in not a great area. And I, you know, was just watching that mid-season premiere. And I remember knowing that it wasn't during the fall season. So it was a mid-season premiere. And I remember watching it and just going, this is so good. And so just, it just captivated me.
Yeah. I think Grey's is probably one of like phenomenal writing, storytelling, emotion, the music too. Oh my gosh.
Music. McDreamy. It was fun and curious. Like it's everything that I love to do. Nothing that takes itself too seriously because you get to laugh, but also things that grab you by the throat.
And now I ask each of my guests, and including you, Amanda, like, what's that one word that connects you to dreams and also creativity?
When you mentioned it, Ignite came, because there's a correlation between dreaming and the execution of creativity. And like in between those things is the spark. So maybe it's the spark, mm-hmm. but like it's the thing that you can execute upon.
Yeah.
And there's one thing with dreaming, but like if you're a writer, you get up and write. You know, if you are a producer, you produce. Like, and that's the moment that we're in that's really tough in the business, because mm-hmm. the industry's changing.
Yeah.
And you can either kind of go down that hole of depression, which we all do. I sometimes do mm-hmm. myself.
Yeah.
but also then you got to go on the other path of going like, okay, how do I disrupt and how do I ignite and create in a business that is changing, and think differently within the boxes that you know exist so that you're creating something fresh. So I would say the word ignite or spark mm-hmm. is the thing that, you know, I think between dreaming and putting the pen down on the page, you have a spark that kind of drives you forward.
Yeah. That spark, that creativity, our limitless listeners, keep the spark going and ignite those creative things. Where can some of our listeners follow? Obviously no unsolicited pitches, yes. But where can they follow you and get to know more about your production company?
Definitely on LinkedIn, for sure. I'm definitely updating it as things evolve. You know, I've only been out of Lionsgate for about 2 months now, but mm-hmm. I have a lot going on and I'm very excited to talk about it eventually once things kind of get moving. And I think, I guess what I would just love to leave, you know, your listeners with is you have the power within you, because you are an individual person who has a story to share. And the more you learn about the business helps you funnel who you are into content that others can connect with and enjoy. So I definitely think it's about learning the business and learning the ins and outs and the things that, you know, the things that they're looking for. And then how do you funnel yourself into those boxes so you can make a difference to the world?
Yeah, right. It's igniting those dreams and keeping yourself creative. So thank you so much, Amanda, for being on the Limitless podcast. If those of you have listened and been inspired, make sure to subscribe, right? Because that's what's so important. And Amanda, thank you so much. Your talk was so inspiring, and I can't wait for you to inspire all these young ones that are starting, you know, just graduated college, and now they're like getting into their storytelling and tapping into who they are, because that we want to hear your story.
Yes. And anybody can learn something from anyone. So I think that's an important lesson to take away too. You know, I can learn from a 20-year-old, they can learn from me, you know, with every project, I learn something. And that's because, you know, it's a lifelong creative journey. And I thank you for really highlighting people's voices and inspiring others. Because sometimes when it gets hard, you need to be inspired. And your podcast definitely does that.
Yeah, we're all about inspiring our fellow creatives. And thanks so much, Amanda. Like, let's ignite and keep sparking our dreams by sharing our stories. And I'm so thankful for you for sharing yours. And let's keep it going. Thanks, Amanda.
Of course. Thank you, Lori.